Welcome back to another episode of Ignite Your Power, the Kathy Mao Podcast. I'm your host, Kathy, and today I'm so excited to be joined by Andrew Neeland. So if you're a wellness provider, coach, or entrepreneur trying to grow your business but feeling overwhelmed by marketing or like your practice is invisible online, this episode is exactly what you need. Because Andrew is the founder and CEO of Functional Medicine Marketing, a digital strategist who works exclusively with functional and integrative medicine clinics across the globe. Andrew has helped countless providers attract new patients, gain visibility, and build sustainable marketing systems without burning out or chasing social media trends. But before we dive into strategy, we're also getting personal. Andrew shares what drew him into the world of holistic health, how that journey shaped his business, and why functional medicine deserves a unique approach when it comes to marketing. Whether you're a clinic owner and mompreneur like me or a coach building your brand, Andrew's insights on SEO, content strategy, and authentic growth will leave you feeling empowered and equipped to take aligned action. So let's get into it. Say hi to everybody.
Hey, everybody. I'm excited to be here. Let's get going.
Yes, I'm so excited to have you. So let's start with your story. What inspired you to work specifically with functional and integrative medicine practices? Was there a personal connection to holistic health that drew you in?
Absolutely, for sure. So my wife and I got married young, right out of college. We had a bunch of kids, so four kids, really young. There was a time we had four kids, four and under. I mean, it was nuts, just crazy busy. At the same time, we were running another business where we started a landscaping business here in Colorado Springs. Had that for 10 years. Loved it and hated it. It was very seasonal. It was really hard. Made so many mistakes. Through all of it, just kind of coming out of that and realizing, okay, what did I actually love about that experience? And, you know, being able to sell it, which was great. But then, okay, now what? And I always loved the creative part where I did landscape design. But then my favorite part was the marketing, because we did our own marketing. And that was back in the day when it was easy, a lot easier to do marketing. I figured out how to do Google ads, and they were so simple and they just worked like crazy. It's very different today. So just kind of through that. So we kind of got into marketing, but the whole time, you know, with our own personal health, just the stress of having a business, the stress of four little kids. At the time, we also moved across country to be closer to my my mother-in-law for a little while. And just that stress upon stress. And it just started to show in our health, my wife and I's health, and me especially. I was just gaining weight. I had headaches all the time. I was popping Tums for my heartburn and taking ibuprofen every day like it was candy. I was getting, you know, all of a sudden I was just an athlete's foot and my asthma was getting bad. I started getting allergies. I never had allergies before. I mean, it was just all the things combined. And I just felt old. I was in my early 30s. I am not at all there anymore. If you can see me, you can tell probably, although I hide it under a very big beard. And so just this weight of health and just this dysfunction that was going on and just feeling, oh, I just felt old, and the kids were still young and I just wanted to keep up with them. And, you know, I've always loved to play with the kids and we wrestled all the time and, got outside and hiked. And I was just to this point where I just wanted to sit on the couch. And so that spurred kind of inspired this health journey that started and brought us into the functional and holistic space, and things started clicking and it just, the dots started connecting and it started making sense. And very quickly, we were able to, with the help of a functional medicine practitioner, we were able to turn our health around, my wife and I both. And I think I lost 30 pounds in about, and this is not standard. Don't, you know, this sounds way out of control, but 30 pounds in like 30 days. It was just nuts. And which really just shows you how bad it had gotten,
yeah.
and the benefit of still getting on top of your health when you're a little bit younger in your 30s, your body bounces back pretty fast. Yeah. And so then it's just been this journey of learning more and more and diving in even more with our health. And so at the time, so we've got marketing going on. We're helping just any business that, you know, we can. And then on the personal side, we've got this health journey going on, and it finally clicked in 2020. And we thought, you know what? We really want to help functional medicine practitioners grow and bring in new patients because it's so personal to us. And so that's when we kind of pivoted a little bit, a lot, and started functional medicine marketing, where we do focus on functional medicine practices, which is a very broad term. We're yeah. using it very broad as anything holistic, naturopathic. You know, there's med spas, there's IV therapy, there's, you know, hyperbaric oxygen, integrative, all the way to, you know, Reiki or just massage. All of these different things kind of fall under that category. And so we just, and our mission, and this is kind of what it boils down to. And our mission is to help practices help more people by getting their online marketing right. So that's the brief history, you know, skipping a bunch of steps, but that's where we're at right now.
But that's amazing. I love how your health journey led you into where you're supposed to be. And that's what happened to me. Honestly, I had infertility, and that led me into my health journey of holistic health and looking at literally my whole entire body and like the whole health aspect of just not only the physical, but it was the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual as well that helped me. So what were the things that actually got you going and started helping you get better when you went to go see the functional medicine? Because 30 pounds in 30 days, that's a is it just like eating healthier or just starting to walk more? What were some of the practices that you
So again, that's certainly by no means, you know, I hate, you know, any of those advertisements that you see where you can shed 30 pounds in 30 days, because that's not a good standard. That's not, you don't want to do that every day. It just was the perfect kind of positive storm for us. Initially, it was, we did kind of a very controlled and clean cleanse, basically. So it was really getting off a lot of those inflammatory foods and, you know, get like way cutting back on sugar, you know, a lot of fresh smoothies. And we did this cold soup at night that was just horrifically bad. But, you know, it's just, and you just think, okay, I'm going to just do this for my health and just see. And really kind of, then it kind of morphed into kind of an elimination diet where we were, you know, you just eliminate a lot of those common inflammatory things that can cause those reactions, whether it's gut or joints or your brain fog or all of these things, because it's all down at the source to find out, okay, well, you know, the goal is what's causing these things. And obviously you don't want to just live on a cleanse. And that's a whole nother journey because I basically tried to do that as well. Nobody knows about me, but I love the most extreme diets and the most extreme like biohacking methods or exercise. Like it's a problem. It's like I'm too extreme. And I know that, but I've tried everything and something. For example, so there was I was keto for a couple of years, real strict keto, but then it was a little too extreme and I cut my calories too much and it impacted my hormones really bad. And so then I kind of came back out of that. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to go vegetarian. And so I went vegetarian and then I was like, you know what? Let's just go raw vegan for fun. And so, I've always seen myself as kind of a guinea pig and, you know, cutting things out is not a problem for me. And it's actually a problem when I need to start adding things back in. And then after raw vegan, it was the worst I ever felt was on raw vegan. And so then I went to carnivore. We're very clean, grass fed, you know, very meat focused. Which I felt fantastic on. But kind of as I've gone through it, I've realized there's not one formula diet or formula workout or perfect supplement stack that you can do for the rest of your life. So I had to stop looking for the perfect diet that I was going to just stick with, even no matter how hard it was. And so it's much more realizing, okay, where am I at in my journey now? Where, you know, looking back at, you know, I had my appendix burst when I was a kid. I had asthma. I had pneumonia numerous times. And so, you know, which causes a lot of gut dysfunction. And so I think I've been kind of dealing with that. And so that's why some more of the extreme carnivore was really good for me personally, because it got rid of a lot of those inflammatory kind of gut things. So the other thing I've learned is I used to be like, I was a passionate preacher for the next latest diet, right? And so when I was on keto, I was like, everybody should do keto. And if you're not doing keto, you're a horrible person or something. I don't think I did, but I was very much like this, I would kind of carry the banner. But ever since kind of going through my journey, I've seen people that thrive on vegetarian, vegan. Yeah. And then I've seen people that don't handle carnivore well at all. And then I've seen people that just is really great with keto. And then they don't like, so it's, I've just learned that every body is different and every body has different needs. And so it's much more, you know, if you're out there and you're just getting to that point where you're like, I'm ready to make a change, I would just say, go for it. Pick one, you know, do your research, of course, but then go for it. But also be willing to say, you know what, there's no perfect diet that is perfect for everybody, and be ready to kind of ebb and flow and fluctuate. And what worked, you know, that first cleanse, if I did that cleanse now, I don't think it would do anything. It would, you know, it'd be because it's totally different where I'm at needs wise. So that's the short history of my extreme health followings.
Sense though, it's so funny because I'm the same way as what you're saying. So my health journey happened when I was 25 and I broke my wrist and I was like, why am I so fragile? I need to change this. Like, yeah. No way. And so at the time my coworker was doing the paleo diet. And so I got into the paleo thing and I was like, oh my God, everybody should do this. And then Funny thing is though, you're talking about a cleanse. I did this in college. It was like the lemon cayenne pepper cleanse.
Oh yeah. I think I tried that.
That's the same thing. Everybody's like, oh my God. Right. You know, and I did it. And I saw that it did cleanse a lot of my body, but do not, you know, obviously, you should not do this for long term.
Oh, no, yeah.
It's hilarious that you're saying that, but it is a journey. It's such a journey. And everybody is so different. It really does. It doesn't matter, like, if one person strives on one thing, it's because their body functions differently. So it's beautiful that you said that, because a lot of us struggle with the perfect diet. There is no perfect diet. And so I've been changing my diet recently, too. So I was paleo, and then I stopped it, and I was like, okay, I'm over it. And then I went into doing the bean protocol. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but eating a lot of fiber. And so that'll help with your gut health and get rid of the toxins, since I have endometriosis. And I was like, oh, something's missing. I still don't see results. And then finally I changed and I started doing acupuncture. And they're like, okay, you need to stop eating cold things. Like, you need to eat everything warm because your body is off balance. Yeah. Now I like changed my whole diet into TCM, traditional Chinese medicine, for people who don't know TCM. But sure. Now it's like the TCM way of like eating carbs that I used to never really eat. I never focused on carbs. Now I'm like eating white rice and like porridge, and it's like all hot, warm.
Nice. Yeah.
I mean, and it's like changing, and I'm like, okay.
Oh yeah.
It's a journey and I'm still learning, and there's no right way. Exactly what you said, which was beautiful. I love that.
Yeah, I did. So I did straight after the, after raw vegan, I did strict carnivore for a year and a half. So a lot of people only do it for, 30 days. I think I had some major things to heal. It was very healing for me, but I got into the kind of, you know, around 18, 19 months, which apparently is pretty normal in carnivore. You just start feeling like something's not, you know, I just kind of start losing some energy and you just kind of feel the lack of, you're missing something, right? It's kind of what you felt. And we'll come to find out, it obviously, and you probably know this better than I do, but it's a lot of work for your body to convert protein into glucose. Mm-hmm. It can do it. And your body, I mean, your brain runs on glucose, right? And so your body can get that glucose from different sources, but it's really a lot harder to get it out of protein. I'm not a practitioner, so everybody's out there going, this guy's butchering it, which I apologize. But for me, it started to make sense. Oh, I need to get back into carbs of some sort, nice and clean, which is great. And so I started doing some real, we have a local source of the sourdough bread that's amazing. Kombucha and yogurt, and we get raw milk and honey and fruit. You know, it was just kind of, so they kind of call it the animal-based diet, which I've never figured out why they call it animal-based, but whatever. And so I was feeling amazing. I felt so good. And then recently, all of a sudden, my joints are hurting and I'm getting all this stuff. And then I start learning about MCAS and histamine, and everything I was eating was super high histamine. If you're sensitive, I mean, it's just like, wait a second, I thought I nailed it down. And so that I really have, like you, it's a journey, and you just take the next thing. You don't get discouraged, because what I found is the right information or the right practitioner or the right podcast, you know, it's going to get to you right when you need it. And so you don't have to worry and stress about, okay, what's next? Or I'm really struggling. You're going to find it. I love just how, the universe is totally in our favor as far as our health goes. Lots of positivity. It just helps as well. As we all know, we're more than just the food we eat. We're the thoughts that we think and the emotions that we feel and our spirituality and all of those.
Exactly. And knowing that everything that you're doing now is always, there's a lesson to it. And when you take that lesson, you're like, okay, I know myself better. And I know what's working and what's not. So it's just like literally figuring out what is working for you. Best part. But I guess most of us are just always in the state of, give me the answers now. I just want to know everything.
Exactly. Right? Well, we get on Instagram and we're, you know, everybody claims to have the solution for everything, even if it's completely opposite points of view. And that's what we're always looking for, that magic pill. What's the magic pill? If you're out there and you're a practitioner, you know, you get people coming from traditional medicine and they've just been given a pill for every symptom that they've ever had. And if they start thinking healthier and a little more natural, they tend to come to functional medicine and they just go, okay, what's the natural magic pill? What's the natural diet, the magic diet or the magic supplement? And in functional medicine, Chinese medicine, we know there's not a magic thing to it. It's a process. It's a process of growth and change, and it takes a lot of time. A nice segue into marketing. The same goes for our marketing, where there isn't a magic pill for marketing, and good marketing takes time as well.
Yeah. With the marketing, though, since you brought it up, how is functional medicine marketing more different than other businesses? Because I know functional medicine, we're more holistic and we're more heart-centered. And I really feel like it's part of the spiritual aspect piece, too, that we put into play instead of just Western medicine, which is just giving you pills more so.
Exactly.
Right?
So. Yeah, for sure. And you nail it. I think the biggest difference, if you're out there and you've got a business, or you're thinking of starting a business, or you're a solopreneur, or, you know, wherever you're at in that kind of entrepreneurial journey, the first and most important thing is mindset. And it's this mindset of, again, especially if you're in have a holistic mindset, you need to transition that mindset into how you operate your business. The businesses that I see that I know are going to fail, and it works time and time again, is when they put so much pressure on their marketing that to work in an unrealistic amount of time. And if you're a practitioner and you have patients, you know the same goes for patients. Like, they come to you and they've got this major autoimmune issue that has been developing and getting worse over their whole life. And then they're frustrated that in a month, you haven't cured their problem. Yeah. And I get that same thing with marketing. Wait a second. You know, I've been giving you money for a month. Why isn't this working? Well, it's the same thing. Good marketing takes time. So the thing that makes us very different is that we do things holistically within marketing. because I get asked a lot, what's the best platform to grow functional medicine practice? What's the best platform or the best way to post on social media or whatever? And I always pull people back and say, there isn't one cure-all platform. It's like a marketing puzzle. And each of the pieces in the marketing puzzle plays a significant role. But we need all of those pieces. And so at Functional Medicine Marketing, we've really honed in on a strategy that leverages the marketing budget as the best way possible. And we don't just, so most marketing agencies have some kind of a template and they just kind of shove everybody into this template. And most of the time it's a Facebook ad that goes to a ClickFunnel type landing page with some kind of a fancy special offer for $39. You can get your first acupuncture treatment or whatever it is, and then it's just this and it's rinse and repeat. And they're just shoving everybody in and just changing the name or whatever, which used to work if it was a low cost service. For functional medicine, there's a lot of functional medicine programs that are $3,000, $5,000, $15,000 for the program because it takes a lot of time and effort to help people with, say, Lyme disease or an autoimmune disease that takes a lot of doctor's time. And there's a lot of lab work, all of those things. You cannot get one of those patients through one of those type of click funnels. So if you're a practitioner and you're out there and you're scrolling through social media, I'm sure you've seen these ads. It's from a marketing agency, you know, some seven figure something or other that you're going to be, you know, you get 30 new patients in 30 seconds for 30 cents. And it's just not possible. They can get you a bunch of leads, but they turn out to be just horrible leads. You'll get maybe 50 phone numbers. And you think, wow, 50 phone numbers, that's great. But not one of them calls you back. Not one. So many of them don't even know who you are. They signed up for it and they don't know who you are. If they do finally end up in your clinic, they just turn out to be no good patients because they're just looking for that $39 offer and they don't turn out to be, you know, a good patient. So instead of kind of that template, shove you in a box funnel, we do things very differently in that our goal is to get you on the first page of Google for people that are organically searching. Because if somebody is sitting down or they're on their phone and they're searching for a functional medicine doctor near me, or they're searching a symptom or an integrative, you know, therapy, acupuncture, massage, something like that, if they're at that point, they're much closer to making a decision. And so they're very warm prospects. Mm-hmm. And so our goal is to get you on that first page of Google, because that's the low-hanging fruit for the highest quality new patients. And then we support it. And so I'm going to give you the three best marketing strategies that you want to focus the majority of your marketing budget on. So that first one is SEO. If you're not familiar with SEO, that's fine. It's weird, but it stands for search engine optimization. So think search engine and you're thinking, okay, what's a search engine? Just think Google. Google is a search engine. You go to search something. So if we optimize your website, we can get you to show up in front of more people on search engines. So that's at the top of kind of our trifecta triangle. And then we support that with Google ads and then Facebook and Instagram ads. And Facebook and Instagram ads are very different than organic social media posting. There is a place for social media posting, but it's really hard to get in front of new people, and we can talk about that. But that primary, where the majority of your marketing budget should go to, is SEO, Google ads, Facebook and Instagram ads. Now that's marketing. Obviously you need a great website. And there's a lot of ways to do that. You need some good branding, but don't sink all of your budget into just a logo and some colors. It's really not that complicated to do that nowadays. So that's kind of overview of marketing, what makes us a little different.
Well, I love that. Thank you for being in depth with that. And yeah, I didn't really know what SEO means. Everybody keeps saying that. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that that was such a huge thing, but I guess it is because you do want to be popped up on Google, as the first results. But that's really cool. I love how you take that approach, though, because it really is hard for an entrepreneur or a holistic wellness coach or whatever you're doing in the functional medicine aspect, because I feel like we're more heart-centered, so it's harder for us to put ourselves out there. And we just really want to help people. And at that's the end, not just selling the product. I think that's another marketing piece that I feel that I struggle with, or maybe it's not marketing, but it's sales. It's like selling yourself and the way you actually heal somebody. And that's harder to do when you're actually heart-centered and that you really care for that person versus just make a sale.
And it's so much of the, there's been books and speakers and podcasts, and they just really push this like heavy sales. Like you got to go for the close. You got to go for the close. But what I have found, and there's a book series that I recommend. It's called the Go Giver series. There's five different, they're real short books. It's about business. But the whole concept is you sell by focusing on giving value rather than getting somebody's money. So it's about giving value. And what I have found is within the holistic space, people that own a business, they naturally, their goal is to really change lives by providing health. They're not, of course, we have to pay bills, but they're not in it just to make the quick buck. It really is very focused. And so I think a lot of times they get stressed out because they think they have to be kind of this dirty person that's just focused on the sale to do good sales and marketing. And I can tell you the best clinics rarely ever sell in the traditional sense, but instead they focus on providing value. So take, for example, in content that you might create, if you're making a video for Instagram, for example, which video is going to go better? A video that you say, we have this service and we've been in business for 10 years and we've got all these different programs and contact us now for the special offer. Or here's another video where the doctor's, taking a walk through the woods, talking about the benefits of sunshine and how it can decrease depression and anxiety and, how it's good for your holistic health. I mean, what are people going to want to watch more? Of course, the value one. Yeah. And when you can set yourself up as the go-to authority, the trusted authority when it comes to people's health, that is the best sale time and time again. So I just want to just relieve everybody's stress a little bit about sales and social media posting and content creation. Focus on just giving people value, because if you earn their trust, they're going to need help. And then who are they going to go to help for? They're going to go to somebody that they trust. And so that's a great way to earn people's trust, is to don't be a sleazy salesman. You don't have to sell any used cars, or there's no smoke and mirrors involved. Just give them the good, honest truth. You don't have to dance. You don't have to do weird, unless you like to dance. I like to dance. Horrible at it, but I like to. Do what you love and provide a lot of value, and then integrate that into your marketing is just hands down the best way to connect with people.
Oh, I love that. Thank you for that tip. I really feel like value is what you can give nowadays, and especially as a heart-centered entrepreneur where you want to help. And I feel like I've been on that route of figuring that out. And I was like, okay, I've been having a lot of business coaches that make you really sell yourself in that sense of selling. And it just never connected with me. And I was like, there has to be a better way. And so whatever you just said right now, adding value, and eventually people will come to you. And that's what I believe. I believe in attraction and not trying to chase. I'm over the chasing. I'm ready to attract.
Right. Yeah, attract. And that's exactly it. I think another thing that we all have to grasp or grapple with, that's what I'm trying to say, it is money, right? Okay, I want to help people, but then I have to charge money. And so that makes me feel kind of dirty. It feels like money's always getting in the way of me helping people. And something that I have found that the best clinicians do is that they see the money that people put in as an integral part of their healing. Because if you've got a $29 service. People aren't going to show up. They're not going to really care. They're not going to, it's not about life change, right? So the more money somebody puts in to a service or into you, the more value they're going to get out of it, because functional and holistic medicine is all about life change. It's a lifestyle change. So somebody's probably not going to change their lives if they spend $49 on an ebook. Mm-hmm. But if they put in $5,000 on a coaching program, you know, that's a Chinese medicine coaching program or something, they're much more likely to stick with it. So the money, as you're thinking about your pricing, and maybe you're at this point where I really need to raise my prices or else I can't stay in business. I had a conversation today with a client, and you know, he's kind of grappling with this kind of the business decisions. And really, it is the more money somebody puts in, the more value they're going to get out of it. Obviously, we're not trying to sell them snake oil. We actually have value. So that's, you know, that's the foundation for sure. But think about it that way, is the more money they put in, the more value they're going to get out and the more committed to life change they're going to be. And so they almost need to put in a decent amount of money. Now, you know, we kind of get, you know, I've heard people like, well, you should take out another credit card and you should refi your house and all of this stuff. And I mean, there might be a place for that if you're really in a bad way physically and you've got to get the help. So there's always balance there. But for me, that really helped because I just so badly want to help a lot of people. And they just, you know, and so money can be that obstacle, but really money shouldn't be the obstacle. It should be kind of the pathway and the door. So I don't know, that just really helped kind of clean it up for me and really give it purpose.
That does. That makes it make it less dirty about money. It makes it add value to yourself and why it should be valuable for you. Yeah. It makes so much sense. I love that so much. And what popped up for me too, when you're talking about that, it's all about the mindset as well, though. And like what you said, marketing is about mindset. In the very beginning, you said that. That's the basics. And it really is. When it comes back down to anything that you do, it's your mindset. Is it going to allow you to make that big purchase to do it? And a lot of people can't get themselves to make that purchase. And I was like, I can see that because their mindset is not there yet. So in order for you to make them change, right, you have to make them feel safe, or they have to trust you and then want to spend that and believe that they deserve something better for their life or their health or whatever they're trying to buy. Or
Yeah. And if you're a practitioner, you would never want them to get results without some hard work, right? I mean, like if they're eating a McDonald's every day, we know they need to not do that. Like for them to get the results, we know they have to go through some hard stuff. And the same goes to honestly just paying. And so that can be such a, you know, we have in our Western mindset, I think is worse, where we see money as like this God that, you know, it's everything to us and we protect it. And, you know, it just rules our lives rather than it being this amazing tool that opens up opportunities. And I like to think, you know, mindset wise, because I grew up with a lot of baggage, real, you know, super ultra fundamental conservative upbringing, and money was just like, it was all, you know, it was always a problem. And if you had a lot of money, you were doing something wrong because you shouldn't be rich. You know, it was all of that. So I had a lot of baggage to overcome. And I think I read it somewhere where money is like oxygen. It's everywhere. It's out there. There's so much of it. So we should give it and receive it very freely. And when it's this in and out where we're giving and receiving, you know, so often we see money and we're just trying to inhale all the time and you can only inhale so much. And it's, so you've got to be like, you know, you got to be a pipe where it can go in one end and out the other, where it's nice and fluid. And so that's a money mindset that I had to really adopt, that, you know what, I don't have to stress because money is like oxygen. Now, there's things I need to learn and failures I need to make. And a lot of those failures meant I didn't have any money for a long time. And it was really hard. But I wouldn't change those times because it was a super educating, eye-opening learning experience for me.
Yeah. And every lesson or every hardship gives you a lesson. I totally believe in that. And so that's wonderful that you said, yeah, you wouldn't change that about your past life or
had to go. I wouldn't go back and do it again. It was horrible, but I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't change it for sure.
Yeah, I totally get that. Always all the hardships and even going through infertility, looking back, I'm like, I'm glad that I went through that. It actually helped lead me into my life purpose of helping other people, doing this podcast and all the other great things that came out of it. But at that time, I was like, oh my gosh, this is the worst thing ever.
Awful. Yes.
Yeah. But then I look back and I'm like, okay, I'm much stronger. I'm happier actually going through that because I found more of me after that hardship.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I think that's just healing, you know, talking about my upbringing and all the baggage there, you know, I wouldn't change that either.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. My parents were operated out of a huge amount of love and they didn't get everything right. And I know I'm a parent, I've got four kids, you know, and I'm not going to do everything right. But, you know, there's this concept of love covers a multitude of faults. And I look back and I'm so grateful that they tried their best out of love, even though, you know, all my brother and sister and I, lots of baggage we had to overcome. But man, just the gratitude that when we can really nurture that gratitude for the past hard things, like you said, it just, man, it opens up a world of purpose for us and gives us really a lot of oomph, a lot of energy to kind of face the next battle and the next hardship, because we're never going to get out of them, right? You know, I heard a quote that says you're either in hardship, you just got out of hardship, or you're just going into something hard. That's the only thing we got going on. And so it's just this normal part of life and we need it. And it's just good for us.
Yeah. It's part of being and living the human experience. That's what I call it. Learning lots of lessons. That's what we came to do.
I love that.
And it's beautiful that you're doing all of this and your kids get to see that, right? And they get to see you're working and doing all of this out of love and they can learn that.
Yeah.
And have they learned anything from your extreme diets or all of, like, you know, the functional medicines or whatever you're doing?
Yeah.
They're practicing that in their daily lives, which is pretty cool to see in the younger generation. I feel like we grew up being half and half where we got to be outdoors. And then at older age, we had, you know, phones and whatnot. The internet. Nowadays, the kids, like your kids grew up and my kid is growing up with just technology. That's it.
Yeah, for sure. I know a lot of people worry about it. And I something that I've learned is that every parent, for every generation, for a million years past, has been worried about the next coming generation. Yeah. And they just, you know, they're just this horrible generation. They don't get it. La, la, la. When I was a kid, you know, the thing is, our parents said that about us and their parents said that about our parents. Like, I mean, it's just this, it's this natural ebb and flow. And so something that I always try to do is a good practice, mental kind of emotional practice that I do is I always try to find the good. Mm-hmm. Always find the good. I heard a quote the other day that said, we never overthink positive. We never overthink positive. And so I was just shocked by that, because if you're overthinking, it's negative, right? You're worried and you're fearful and it just builds on itself and it goes. And instead, I'm trying to overthink positively. And the way that I do that is kind of in everything, trying to find the good. And so seeing, you know, this next generation, Gen Z, or, you know, and I might have Gen Alpha, you know, my youngest is 15. It's kind of hard to know where the generation starts, but I'm actually really encouraged because it's been such a normal part of their lives. It doesn't seem like it has the same kind of tentacle addiction like it did, you know, I grew up in the 80s where we did, you know, and obviously super strict parents. We got to watch like a half an hour of TV a week. You know, it was really, I mean, it was like nothing. We're big Broncos football fans, and we got to watch a half a football game every week. Like, we didn't even get the whole football game, and it's football. Like, and so, you know, obviously things are very different, but I can see because it was so restrictive to us, like, it's even to this day, I have to check myself and make sure, because I love movies and I love watching football. And so I have to be like, whoa, I got, you know, just because I can now, because I'm the dad. But I've seen my kids kind of go, yeah, let's play a game, or let's, you know, my second son is obsessed with climbing mountains. Obsessed. So in Colorado, we have 58 mountains that are over 14,000 feet. And he's trying to climb all of them before he turns 20.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, and some of these are pretty extreme. And so he's, you know, he's almost 19 and he's already gotten, I think he's in the high 30. No, he's in the 40s. He's done over 40 mountains in Colorado. So it's amazing. And then my oldest is, he loves sports and he has this amazing group of friends and they're playing, they play volleyball a few times a week and they're playing flag football and spike ball. And I mean, they're outside constantly and they have the freedom to stare at their phones or to watch movies or TV shows or whatever. And they don't. And I think part of it is because it's so normal. It doesn't have to have as much of an addiction kind of, magnetism like it did to my generation. Just a theory, but I'm very, very optimistic seeing they are craving real interaction face to face with people and nature. It's just awesome.
That's awesome. That's amazing to hear that. And it's obviously you parents instilling that too in them, because, you know, like, I'm sure you guys do outdoor things as well, but if you're always indoors, they're going to be like, oh, okay, that's the norm, right? So you are talking about the importance of going out into nature. And that's what part of being in the holistic world is, that you know that nature is a part of you too, and that we're all connected and all that. So it's beautiful.
You know, and we wanted to make sure we didn't make it a chore to go outside. Man, obviously we could get into parenting. That's a lot of different topics there, but we wanted to attract them to the outside rather than push them outside. Mm-hmm. So instead of, okay, you have to spend this much time outside every day, you have to do, like, we found that when they were younger and we required those things, it became more of a chore than a joy. And so we, as they came into the teenage years, we very much pivoted to more trying to attract them to the good things rather than forcing the good things on them. And it has just paid off 100-fold. Now, I'm no parenting, you know, expert. Heck, I'm no functional medicine expert either. That's just obviously a story. And that's our, you know, kind of our journey and what we've seen working in our kids. And it looks different for all of our kids too. And so you got to, you know, we definitely want to make space for them to be themselves. My daughter, for example, she's not a hiker. She doesn't like sports, but she loves grandma hobbies. She calls them grandma hobbies. So she crochets and she knits and she bought her own sewing machine and she listens to old music on vinyl. She loves vinyl and I love it. I'll hear her listening to, you know, Bing Crosby or, you know, somebody, and she's in there and she's crocheting and she loves those grandma hobbies and she's an artist and she's amazing. I mean, do they all look at their phones? Sure. Do they all, you know, watch things? For sure. But to see the things that really bring them joy are much more hands-on and tactile and engaging with nature and those kinds of things. It's fun. Parenting, again, you can find the good. Teenagers can be scary, but, you know, you can make it, I promise. And it's totally worth it.
Yes, I know. I can't wait, right? My daughter's 2, about to be 3, so.
Oh, okay. You're just about to get into the greatest phase ever.
Really?
Oh my goodness. 5, 6 years old. Oh, it's like And with girls, I think it's tends to be a little younger. So like 4 to 7. Oh my goodness, that's like the funnest kid age ever. And then all of a sudden, now boys tend to hit it a little earlier, at least for our experience. They go from being this amazing kid. I mean, the greatest kid. They're cute and they can take care of themselves and it's amazing. And then all of a sudden, puberty starts kind of kicking in and they become the worst adult ever. I mean, they're dumb as stumps. but you get this fun kid age. And then all of a sudden, they're just like clueless. And you're like, what happened to my perfect kid? And then they start coming out of that. And then you start getting this friendship level. Like all of my sons are like as tall as me now or taller. And, you know, it's just this, it becomes more of this peer friendship relationship. And so fun things at every phase for sure. You're no joke. You're in the terrible twos. And yeah. I mean, positive vibes going your way. Thanks. Hopefully you get some sleep someday. Cause it's so little at that point, but you look so perky and chipper. It looks like you sleep well.
Yeah, she really actually sleeps well. She brings me awesome. So much joy, and she's like the perfect awesome. little angel. And yesterday I was taking a nap with her, or I put her to nap, and she tells me, and she hits my nose, and she goes, "Mom, I love you." And I'm like, "Wow, why did you say the cutest things?" Like, see, that's like the most rewarding thing. And so,
yeah.
I love it so much. And I know we kind of got off track with the market.
That's okay. This is fun.
But I love it. I love talking about parenting because it's so important. I really believe. And plus, nowadays, a lot of us use our children part of the marketing strategy. What do you think about that? I mean, not all functional medicines do, but, you know, I do sometimes just to show my life and to try to just make people feel more or authentically or understand who you are, you know?
Yeah. And so as a practitioner or coach or wherever you're at, you want people to feel two things about you. Mm-hmm. One, you need to be a go-to expert.
Okay.
I mean, you need to know your stuff, right? Mm-hmm. You need to know the stats and the facts and the lab work, like the back of your hand, because they're going to be like, you know what? I don't get that. I need somebody that gets it. So you need that. But then if that's all you have, you kind of end up being, you know, you almost just, it feels like you're a lab coat with a stethoscope and you don't have time for anybody and you're just writing medical journals and you're amazing, right? So you have to balance this personal aspect. And a great way to do that is to show people your real life. I think in this day and age, you want to be careful not to try to show the perfect life.
Yeah.
Because people are getting kind of sick of it, mm-hmm. right? Because we, you know, there's been this time where it's all been this fantasy world and we see everybody on Instagram and it causes all this depression and anxiety because I could never be that way. You know, my kids have snot running down their nose and these kids are, you know, look like they have makeup on and they're perfect, you know? And so you don't want that, but you want to show kind of this real part of your life. Not just for people as they're seeing, say, social media videos or something like that, but also for your kids, including your kids in your business. I have always included our kids in our business. And my wife is a commercial real estate broker now. And, you know, back when we had a landscaping business, I used to bring the kids with me and they would help me rake rock or shovel rock or move this. And I remember they brought their little, you know, the big Tonka trucks and they would put rocks in them and drive them around and dump them out. And, you know, they were just a part of it. And so now to see them, one, they have a great work ethic. Two, they understand the value of their time and their effort, because we've always kind of brought them along with, okay, this is what it takes and this is what it costs. But you know, here's the gross amount, but then here's the net amount that's much less, you know, just kind of bringing them along in that. So that's really good for them. And if you're a mompreneur out there, you got to run your business while you're taking care of kids. And so if you had to try to keep those separate, that would be just stress upon stress. So it's good to show this, this knowledgeable, authoritative figure, but that's also personal and a real person and has kids and has bad days, you know, and has tips for snacks that kids might actually eat, you know, that are healthy. That's where the real world is. And so that's really important as well.
Yeah. And what popped to mind for a question is, you know, you keep saying like authority or like having that authority, but what if that person is struggling with having a clear vision or knowing what type of, topic or content that they are really trying to portray? Like, how do people get clarity? Because there are some people like me who have multiple skills or multiple things. And it's just like, how do you hone in on just one thing? Like, how do you market and just make sure you're hitting that one main, I guess, authoritarian thing that you're trying to promote?
Yeah. And that's a really common question when it comes to functional medicine, because let's take traditional medicine, for example. You've got a doctor of like a knee doctor, right? Or you've got, you know, you got a dentist that just works on teeth, or you've got ear, nose, throat specialist. You know, they all have their one thing and they stay in their one lane. But functional holistic medicine views the entire person.
Yes. Right?
If you've got teeth problems, what is a holistic person goes, well, how's your gut? Like, we don't go, well, you need to floss more. We go, ooh, maybe you've got leaky gut, or maybe, you know, there's all these more core things. And so when we're trying to really niche focus, because the best marketing is very focused marketing, we have to take into account within functional medicine, we're taking the whole person. And so it's not that you have to ignore a part of a person. It's better to think about, okay, what people, what demographic can I really help first? So maybe you help perimenopause women that are between, you know, 37 and 57, where they're in that, you know, almost menopause phase. They've got hormone issues and brain fog and all of these things, but you've got this one kind of person, right? So that allows you to really focus on like one person that you're speaking to, that you're marketing to. So in college, my degree is in public speaking. If you can't tell, like, I love to talk. I mean, we're way in, and this is awesome. We could keep going. But so, you know, one of the fundamentals of public speaking is, what am I trying to tell them? And who is my audience? So, you know, I can't be all things to all people in this one speech. So what's this one audience and this one big idea that I'm trying to communicate? So even within holistic health, where we're helping people's elbows and knees and teeth and gut and autoimmune and Lyme and all of these things, we want to think about, okay, what's the one audience that I want to reach? Now, you don't have to only go for one audience within your clinic, but normally you want one audience with your marketing. So maybe you're going, hey, women in Denver, Colorado, are you struggling with brain fog, weight gain, you know, all of these things? You may be in perimenopause and not know it. We can help. And then maybe you come up with another one where you're like, are you, did you just get diagnosed with cancer? And you're looking for more alternative treatment to cancer. You're speaking to that one kind of demographic group. You can speak to multiple of them, but within your marketing specifically, you want to kind of just focus on one thing at a time. Or what, you know, you're not going to just try to hit, you know, pediatric with allergies and perimenopause and geriatrics in the same like video or the same blog or whatever it is. So if you're, you know, kind of stepping back then, if you're a practitioner, you're like, well, I know all of these different things. There's so many things. I would say, well, who's right in front of you? Who are you helping right now? You know, who are the people that are asking you questions and what are they asking about? So within functional medicine, functional medicine can help everybody. It's holistic. That's how we were made, right? You know, the food you put in your mouth is going to make you feel certain things. It's either going to be good or bad. And so, so really it's, okay, what are the opportunities right in front of me? Well, just start there. You know, maybe your mom is really struggling with, I don't know. Maybe she's got just really bad arthritis and joints. Okay. Focus on helping her. And then, she's got friends and they all have achy joints. And so you're like, okay, well, let's come up with a protocol. Let's come up with a way that we can help this group of people, because the foundation is going to be pretty much the same. And that's interesting, from a marketing standpoint, the foundation is pretty much the same for local businesses. We just happen to niche focus into functional medicine, holistic. And we also help a lot of direct primary care practices as well, because it all kind of fits in that same.
Wow, that's so good. Thank you for clarifying that, because it does make so much sense, but you said it so perfectly, because we all do the holistic thing and that's so overwhelming in itself. So for sure. When you're trying to come at it from the holistic point, you're just like, okay, obviously it's not going to happen. That makes a lot of sense to just pinpoint that one thing.
Yes.
So that's very helpful.
I can tell you from a marketing and economy point of view, the more desperate a person is, the more money they're going to pay. Just as an economical rule, there's supply and demand. The higher their desperation is, the more they're going to pay, and the more easily it is to convince them to part with that money because they're desperate. For example, you've got somebody that's been diagnosed with a life-threatening disease. Maybe they've got cancer and I can help those people. Now it takes a lot of work. And so it's a lot of time. And so that tends to be a higher dollar package and program. And rightly so. You've got it's a lot of work. And so that's going to be and I hate to say it, and so bear with me, my heart in it, but that's an easier sell than it is to try to get a preventative anything. To get somebody to take some preventative action when they don't feel any symptoms is really difficult. So for example, I hear a lot of our clients come to me and say, or potential clients, and they come to me and say, I really want to target, like the biohackers and the people that, they're really passionate about prevention. They're really hard to get to part with their money because they don't feel desperate yet. They don't feel desperate. They need it, right? We can prevent so many things, especially with functional medicine, but just from an economical, okay, what's the low-hanging fruit? And the low-hanging fruit is it's going to be somebody that's more desperate. I mentioned perimenopause. They are desperate and they tend to be a little bit older, and which economic wise, they're going to have a little more money to be able to do a cash-based program. I'm assuming nobody takes insurance or very few do, within our audience. And so it's finding those, versus trying to help a 23-year-old guy, just optimize his health. He doesn't have any money for one. And he just thinks he can just go to ChatGPT and solve all his problems on Instagram. There's also a basic kind of understanding of economics, supply and demand within business. And it's in the end, it's all about providing value, finding those more desperate demographics and providing just huge value to them. So they see those results. And then that just snowballs into, they tell other people and it just kind of, it expands, and you'll be able to throughout, if you have a holistic practice, you're going to help people across the board, because you do get some 20 somethings that have really bad acne and they're just really sick of it, or they've got eczema or something. Again, there's kind of that desperation aspect. So it's just a kind of a supply and demand, economics, understanding, go after that low hanging fruit. And with your marketing and your messaging, and really hone in and just get really good at it for sure.
Yeah, that's so awesome. I love that. That's so good. My head's already turning and my brain's like already thinking.
I can see it. That's fantastic.
Like, it's great. It's making me understand and putting pieces together. And I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah, I've been striving so hard to do the preventative thing. Like, try to not be burnt out, but then it's like, dude, just help the burnt out people already. Like, who cares?
They're ready. They need it the worst. Now they're, oh my- and because we've got to get them to buy into it. And it's much easier to get somebody to buy into it when they eat something that's got dairy in it and they immediately feel horrible. Oh man, you can tell somebody to stop eating dairy and they'll do it. Versus, you know, this, you know, 18-year-old over here, it doesn't feel that, or it doesn't feel that bad. You know, it's so, yeah, find the desperation, solve the problem.
Wow. I love that. That's such a good advice. Like, thank you for giving us so much value today. It was so amazing. We didn't even get into your book either. I know you wrote a book, which is amazing. Maybe talk a little bit about it real quick.
Absolutely. It's a fantastic overview of just kind of good marketing. We talked about marketing puzzle where all the pieces kind of fit in. This is just a brief explanation of those pieces and how they fit into the marketing puzzle. So this is not a magic pill. This, you know, you can do your own marketing for sure. And this could be kind of a good guideline for you. The way I see this book the best is if you have to oversee your marketing. So if you're in a bigger clinic, maybe you've been just kind of given marketing as just kind of a, hey, by the way, do marketing as well. This will really help you know what you need, how to do it. If you're starting out as an entrepreneur or mompreneur, you kind of have to do the marketing piece on your own. You probably don't have the budget for it, which is totally fine. This is a great kind of a solid foundation that's going to really help you prevent. We just talked about prevention. This is going to prevent you from falling into a bunch of marketing traps that are just a waste of money, for sure. So you can go to Amazon and get our book, but that costs. You might as well get it for free. Go to our website. You can actually get a e-copy of our book for free. Our website, if you want to put it somewhere, it says functionalmedmarketing.com. So functionalmedmarketing.com. We got a lot of resources on there. I got a lot of videos. You can reach out to me directly, email. I've got my cell number on there. You could text me. I also do a free video. I'll make you an evaluation video. If you already have a website and you want to make sure it's doing the best it can, especially for SEO, just send me your name and your website address. And we've got a form on our website and I'll make a video, 10 to 15 minute personalized video just for you. It's absolutely free. And I'm just going to walk through and give you just things that you can do to improve your site for different SEO things. Again, and I'm not going to be super salesy. Obviously, I could give you prices. But the point of that video is really, again, it's kind of back to that providing value not being pushy salesman, because it's nobody wants to feel dirty. Provide value, and then it just works out. Like you said, Kathy, we put it out there and we attract people that are ready for the right time when they need us.
Yes, thank you so much today for adding super amazing value. I've learned so much today, like from parenting and from marketing and just the holistic wellness altogether. This was awesome. So thank you for today. I'm so excited. I'm going to put all your links in the show notes below, obviously. And I'm literally going to do that video. I'm going to see what.
I would love to make you a video. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And again, that's free for everybody. And actually we offer 50% off. If you do want to hire us, 50% off your first month. That is not a limited time offer. That is just a standard offer. I don't like to be pushy with my sales ever. And so that's just a standing offer. My goal is that you don't feel handcuffed, that you feel empowered, and to understand things. So, Kathy, thank you so much for letting me be on the show. Just a pleasure. Can't wait to hear how your daughter grows up, and it's going to be awesome to hear. I'd love to be back on the show too if you ever need.
Yes, of course. I really love and value all of your knowledge and your expertise on all of this stuff. It truly is so eye-opening for me, and I've learned so much. So, thank you for your time, and yeah, we're going to stay connected. This is awesome.
Absolutely. Sounds good. Thanks so much. See you, everybody.
Thank you so much for spending this time with me on Ignite Your Power with Kathy Mao podcast. If today's episode resonated with you, take a deep breath and know this, you're exactly where you're meant to be.
If you're feeling called to go deeper, I'd love to support you. You can work with me one-on-one or book a numerology guidance card reading with me. All are in the show links below. And if this episode supported you in any way, please share with someone who needs it, leave a review, or take a screenshot and tag me on social media. Your support helps this message reach more souls who are ready to step into their power. Until next time, keep choosing yourself, keep trusting your journey, and keep living your bliss-soft life. I'll see you in the next episode. Bye!